Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we take the sources you send in and really try to pull out the key insights. This time, we've got something really interesting, some pieces from Canto 8 of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, a classic text.
And for you, our listener, you know, the learner type, you want that solid understanding, maybe some surprising facts, some practical stuff, but without getting buried in detail.
Right. Quick but deep.
Exactly. So our mission today, find the practical wisdom in this ancient text for, you know, building inner strength, finding a bit of peace in modern life, and we'll keep it pretty focused.
Sounds good. And we're diving in through the story of Prahlada Maharaja, which is, well, it's really compelling.
Okay.
You've got this young kid, Prahlada, who's completely devoted to Vishnu, but his father, Hiranyakashipu, a powerful demon king, no less, is totally against it. Fiercely against it.
Ah, that classic conflict sets things up nicely.
It really does. It frames the whole discussion about facing, you know, really tough challenges.
And I know this story builds to, a pretty dramatic peak, right?
Right.
With Lord Narasimha showing up.
Exactly. We'll touch on that. It's quite the climax. But beyond the drama, what are the, like, the core ideas we can actually use today?
Yeah. What's the takeaway?
Okay. So central to this part of the Bhagavatam, especially through Prahlada's example, is this idea of unwavering faith.
Faith.
But it's not just believing something passively. The text shows it as this really active, empowering force. Think of it psychologically. This deep trust can act as a buffer against stress.
How so?
Well, it shifts your focus, doesn't it? Away from just worrying about bad outcomes towards believing you can handle things, or that there might be a positive resolution, even if you can't see it yet. It gives you, like, inner calm and courage when everything outside is chaotic.
So for our listener wanting that quick insight, is the text saying this kind of faith is almost like a shortcut to feeling stable inside?
You could sort of see it that way, yeah. I mean, look at Prahlada. He's facing torture threats on his life constantly. But his inner conviction, it doesn't waver.
Right.
And the text really highlights that steadfastness. It's the source of his resilience, his ability to stay peaceful through it all. It's less about the belief itself and more about the strength it brings.
Okay, that makes sense. And that seems to lead right into the next big theme, doesn't it? This idea of divine protection.
Yeah.
Grace. Vishnu stepping in for Prahlada.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And that appearance of Narasimha Vishnu's half-man, half-lion form, it's not just, you know, a cool story element.
Uh-huh.
It signifies something deeper, that help, support, maybe even fortunate turns of events can actually happen, often when we're really aligned with our values or, you know, just trying our best with sincerity.
That's the aha moment you mentioned earlier, isn't it? The surprising help.
Exactly. It suggests that support can come from unexpected places when we stick to what we believe in, our inner compass.
So bringing that to today, to the pressure someone listening might feel, does this mean that kind of surrendering? Letting go a bit, trusting something bigger than just ourselves, whether that's spiritual or just our core values, can actually make us feel less scared or helpless.
I think that's a really key insight. Yeah. It suggests that if you actively acknowledge, okay, I can't control everything, and you put some trust in, let's say, a higher wisdom or maybe just the process or your own principles,
right?
It takes off some of that immense pressure we put on ourselves, that feeling that we have to personally manage every single detail.
Yeah, the control freak in all of us. Which brings up another thing about Prahlada, his humility. He's a prince facing terrible things, but he stays humble. What's that about?
It's fundamental to his character in the story. And his humility, despite everything, his rank, the danger, it's key. Surrender here isn't being passive or just giving up.
Okay, so what is it then?
It's more like actively recognizing what's truly beyond your control and then focusing your energy where it can make a difference. It's like a strategic acceptance, you know, not weakness at all.
Strategic acceptance. I like that. And how does that help with inner peace? Because I know that's a big goal for our listener.
Well, think about the ego, right? When we're constantly trying to push, to control, to assert ourselves over everything, it creates a lot of internal noise. Friction. It just eats up energy.
Totally.
Humility kind of softens that ego.
Yeah.
It makes space for acceptance, for calm, letting go of that absolute need to be in charge. It can be incredibly freeing. It directly tackles stress.
Okay, this is great. We've got faith, grace or unexpected support, humility, surrender. These are big ideas.
Mm.
But how does someone listening, who's probably got a packed schedule, actually use these? We need those concise, actionable bits.
Right. Let's make it practical. First, cultivating faith in modern life. Like we said, it doesn't have to be religious faith in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
It could be faith in your own skills or your core values, or just faith that things can work out. How do you build that? Maybe just brief daily reflection. What really matters to you? Or spend 5 minutes reading something inspiring. Little habits. They build that inner resolve.
Anchoring yourself.
Yeah.
Got it. What about patience and steadiness? Pilates was steadfast, but we're always rushing, facing deadlines.
Yeah, Pilates steadiness is a great reminder about the power of the pause. Just stop before reacting.
Easier said than done sometimes.
Ah, true. But even just taking one deliberate breath when stress hits, simple breathing exercises, mindfulness for just like 60 seconds, it creates that tiny bit of space.
Okay.
That space lets you choose your response instead of just reacting on impulse. These are quick things, really time efficient, but they make a difference in staying calm.
In humility, letting go of control. That feels like a big one for a lot of people.
It is tough. Maybe start small. Identify one area where you feel you have to control the outcome. Then ask yourself, honestly, what's the worst that could happen if you loosened your grip just a little? Practicing accepting uncertainty, trusting the process, even if you don't see the end result yet. These are mental shifts, maybe small ones at first, but they really cut down on stress. Focus on what you can influence, accept what you can't.
Okay. And finally, seeking that higher support. How does someone do that if they're not religious or have different beliefs?
Yeah, the text is actually quite broad here. It's about connecting to something larger than your immediate worries. For some, sure, it's prayer, specific rituals.
Right.
For others, it could be spending time in nature, doing something helpful for someone else, or even just actively practicing gratitude for a few minutes each day. Find what gives you comfort, guidance, that feeling of connection, whatever works for you.
That makes it more accessible. Now, the text also hints, doesn't it, that these individual things can affect the community too, briefly.
Yeah, it does touch on that. The idea is when individuals cultivate these qualities, faith, patience, humility, empathy, it just naturally makes for a more harmonious society.
Like ripples in a pond.
Exactly. And Pilates' story, if you look at the whole thing, it's also about having the courage to stand for what's right with compassion. So yeah, while we're keeping it focused on personal peace for today's deep dive, that inner work definitely has outward effects too.
Okay, so let's wrap up this deep dive into Canto 8 through Pilates' lens. We've seen how these things, faith, grace, humility, surrender, they're all linked.
Mm-hmm. Interconnected.
And how these ancient ideas offer really practical ways to find more peace, even when life feels overwhelming.
Right. Pralada's story, though ancient, is just a powerful reminder. Real inner strength isn't about external power. It's about cultivating these inner qualities.
Which leads us to our final thought for you listening.
Mm-hmm.
As you go about your day, maybe just consider this. Could cultivating even a tiny bit of that faith Pralada showed, or a little bit of that humility, maybe just by taking a moment to reflect, or consciously letting go of control over one small thing, could that actually shift how you see your current challenges? Could it bring a little more inner peace, even with a busy schedule?
Yeah, something to think about. Maybe just one small step you could try today.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.